This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9, 7:06 in the morning. I'm Chuang, joined by Philip C and Wong Xiaoning. In about a quarter of an hour, we'll talk to Dr. Nias Asadullah of the Global Labour Organization about Malaysia's expat worker policies, but before that, markets.
Yeah, it's been a choppy day in the US. I think following Biden's announcement to potentially increase capital gains tax, the Dow, S&P and Nasdaq were all down close to 1% at 0.9%. Shanghai was down 0.2%. I think the other Asian markets were taking a cue from the previous day, which was pretty good. Nikkei was up 2.4%, erasing consecutive negative losses. Hang Seng up 0.5%, Singapore up 1%. And back home, KLCI was up also 0.7%.
So to expand on the global markets, joining us online today is Tim Mulholland, the president of TJM Limited out of Chicago. Tim, Biden has proposed doubling the capital gains tax to close to 40% for people making $1 million and above. How do you think markets will take this going forward?
Well, we tell you this much, it ain't going to be pretty for the NASDAQ if that were to come to fruition, I would tell you that. But, it has to be passed. But I think it's just telling, though, going forward what the risks are. And these risks are not really, in my view, market-positive policies going forward. And, from my economic philosophy, I don't think economic growth-wise, I think these are a headwind for that as well. So, but again, it has to get passed, which highlights the importance 2 years from now. So I don't think they can get that passed into law. So, scary.
But, Tim, what other risks do you see other than this potential tax hike?
Well, I think the risk that coupled with what I view is perhaps non-transitory inflation, which I think will impact interest rates, which will also expose these multiples that we have right now, the high multiples justified by lower rates. So I think if that goes into reverse, to me, that's a big risk, because I think that's one that would be very hard to stop.
Just early on, you were saying that the NASDAQ in particular would be affected. Can you help us dissect why this proposed tax would have a bigger impact on the NASDAQ versus the other indices?
Well, people will sell before the law goes into effect that have huge capital gains. I think the NASDAQ, probably tech sector, has the biggest capital gains. It'll affect the entire market, but especially NASDAQ, those high growths that have seen huge capital gains. So if you're going to see the tax rate go up the way they're proposing, I think people will start selling before that if they believe it's going to pass.
Yeah, so just on lingering on this issue a little bit longer, Tim, how basically integral is this tax hike to the whole Biden campaign and his policy promises?
I don't know. The promises, it's to me, I don't really understand the ultra-progressive agenda as far as it goes for economy, that's just a philosophy. I'm more of a supply-side person. So in other words, there's a cash for clunkers, give people money, and then there's the other side, give companies incentives to build, expend capital, and hire for employment. So it's the Ronald Reagan, I guess, versus, his Art Laffer, the Laffer curve sort of thing. So to me, I think those are detrimental. And higher taxes, especially capital gains, I just don't think are economic positive, growth positive, nor market positive.
So, Tim, let's bring it back to the U.S. results season that the numbers released so far. Were they in line with your expectations?
The numbers, what we've seen, we're right about. What earnings up 30% so far? That's about what they were projecting. And compared to a year ago, that's not a surprise. PE multiples are up again as well. But as we go and get into the fourth quarter, that'll dissipate. So I think what you're seeing is this was expected. And on the melt-up that we saw so far this year, I think that's been priced in it looks like it's been priced in the market.
Now, building on the short-term positive momentum, 2021 is looking to be the year of the unicorn, with a number of them going for an IPO. Are there any on your radar in names, perhaps?
This is an interesting thing, because the dynamics of that VC market changed, because there's been the private raising market, right? So I think that's where a lot of companies been incubated, and then when they come to market, they're really priced very high. So I think that's probably what gave way to SPACs, the rise of SPACs as well. But nevertheless, I think that, there's so much money around right now chasing these deals. It's been, things have gotten bid up quite a bit. So I don't really have any interest in these type of, IPO type trades, because I think the private market's one thing. When it comes public, and the IPO, it's another.
Yeah, Tim, in terms of U.S. airlines, and obviously given the resurgence in COVID cases and the fact that also IATA has widened their estimates for losses for airlines to $48 billion this year, what's your view of airlines in America so far?
Well, I tell you, it's been a rough, you know, it's certainly been a tough business. But I think right now, as keeping with my thought that we're going to be opening up, and I think that we're going to get back to some normalcy, that I think they're priced, you know, they had a nice run-up. United, I know, got beaten up a little bit here. But I think they raised some cheap capital. And I think that these guys, I think airlines are probably okay because they're still out of favor.
And Tim, you know, what sectors do you still like in U.S. markets, even though, like you say, it's really gone up quite a fair bit and it's pretty priced in? Where do you still see you can make, where do you see, which sectors, do you see you can still make some money?
Well, I'm still very positive on the cyclicals and financials. I mean, I know some people are, but I'm very positive on those sectors. So especially the financials, because I see the yield curve steepening, and I think that these their balance sheets are good, and I think the cyclicals and people that are going to benefit, companies that will benefit from the rise can raise prices, and they'll benefit from the rise in commodity prices. So that's, I'm sticking to that theme. So I'm buy value, cyclical growth, and I'm selling growth.
Okay, Tim, thanks so much for your time. That was Tim Mulholland, the president of TJM Limited out of Chicago. Just want to go back to his point about how, you know, he's more of a supply side person rather than someone who's on the other side being a bit of a Robin Hood and finding favor with the Biden administration's policies on taxing the rich. It does ring true, and obviously if you're an economist, you would have to agree with that thinking. But you also get the sense that the Biden administration has done that because of the popularity of taxing the rich. And at no point in time in history has the divide between the rich and the poor been wider in America. In fact, around the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's a function of having this K economy, right?
Yeah.
That even though America is technically in some form of a recession, the richest have just gotten even richer because of the gains in the capital markets and equities. So I think this is one way to address the inequality that people feel.
Yeah,
not necessarily
feel
what
it.
They suffer from, but yeah. What they feel. And it's also, like you say, it's a way to appease the progressive Democrats within his party.
I wonder if also this is a bit of a rebalancing, because when you compare with wage taxes, right? Mm. So it's at 37%. So at the moment, the current capital gains tax does weigh favorably away from the wage tax. So perhaps this move to 40% is to kind of rebalance that a bit.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Isn't it? Okay, let's look at some earnings. Now, Intel shares have fallen after reporting earnings that beat expectations. $3.4 billion in terms of net income for the first quarter, down 40%. But I guess that was what the street expected. Adjusted earnings per share was $1.39, and that was what beat the street.
I think just planning ahead, I think there was recent news with the incoming Intel CEO that they were planning to actually build more semicon factories and facilities into America because of the issues of having deep shortages. So I'm not sure how much that's pricing, but that's a kind of a longer term plan.
I think that's also due to the geopolitical tensions between US and China, right? Where in the last few years, most of the chips were made in China. So there's this call to refocus manufacturing back in US. So Intel is proceeding. But one point of concern with regards to their results was actually their data center group, which saw revenue fall by more than 20% to $5.56 billion. While analysts were expecting $5.89 billion. So as a result, share price dipped last night.
Okay, quickly, let's look at Mattel stock. Mattel stock, obviously, is the toy maker listed in America that also make Barbie dolls. Well, they have seen their shares rally in after-hours trading after they reported a narrower-than-expected quarterly loss and said sales surged nearly 50%. That's quite a lot.
Yeah. Sales rose 47% on year to $874 million, really beating expectations, right? So worldwide gross billings for dolls rose 69% to $381 million, mostly thanks to the growth in Barbie and American Girl.
Yeah, and very quickly, because Wong is in the house, Hermes. See, I can even pronounce that word properly.
Well done, Chuang.
Congratulations.
Their
shares rose because they sold more handbags. Each handbag is what, $25,000?
Depends, varies from bag to bag. Yeah.
Yeah, but they sold a lot of them. Thanks to the Asians.
Thanks to the Asians. Well, thanks to the Chinese market luxury. Actually, there was good sales across all markets.
But look at the numbers, right? Sales in Asia, excluding Japan, rose 94%. And if you break it down, Japan grew 20%, North America 23%. But in France, sales was down 9%.
Because people can't go to France to shop, which is what the Chinese used to do, right?
They
used to go to France to shop.
It was the Chinese wallet.
They went to Hainan Island instead.
Okay, we'll come back after this with Dr. Nias Asadullah of the Global Labour Organization. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.